Hear now the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in God's inerrant and infallible word, John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon, near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friends of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from above is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Thus ends the reading of the Gospel of John, chapter 3. A few comments on this passage. One is the case of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a man steeped in the traditions of the Jews. He is a ruler of the Jewish people. That means he has authority, and presumably he has extensive knowledge of what is required of a Jew. If you are a ruler or a master, then you ought to have instruction in the principles of your religion. But Jesus points out very quickly that this man does not understand the principles of God's revelation to the Jews. Nicodemus identifies the works that Jesus does, the miracles, and says, if God were not with you, you couldn't do these things. You couldn't keep on doing these miracles if God weren't with you. Notice our Lord changes the subject very rapidly. He goes from this discussion of the miracles and whether God was with Jesus to, ye must be born again. That is the second person plural. Ye. You Jews, perhaps. You rulers of the Jews, more likely. Whoever the ye is, there are multiple people, he says, you're one of them that must be born again. Ouch! I thought we were having a pleasant religious conversation. I came to you at night, perhaps for privacy. And here you are telling me I need a second birth, a birth from above. And Nicodemus is astonished. How can that be? Will I fit in my mother's womb? Go in there for another 8.5 months, come out again? What are you talking about? He doesn't understand. Jesus repeats it. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus still does not understand. He doesn't grasp the principles of what he said. Verse 9, he asks again, how can these things be? And our Lord's response is telling. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Does not the Old Testament teach you that you must be born again? That God must give you new life? That the Spirit of God in Ezekiel must sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean? And God will cleanse all your filthiness and all of your idols? Did not Ezekiel said there was a valley of dry bones? That was the whole house of Israel? And God had to speak by his Spirit and raise the dead? Does not Moses say that you must circumcise your hearts and that God promised to circumcise their hearts, to write his commandments, as Jeremiah says, on the tablets of their hearts? These are the promises of the Old Testament. And a master of Israel did not know his own Bible. This is frightening. Those at the apex of the Jewish religion, ignorant of their own Bible. Ah, but we're Christians. That could never happen to us. Oh, yes, it could. Those at the pinnacle of the Christian faith, the doctors and masters of the church, can be bereft of the knowledge of what God says in his word. We can be caught in the external traditions, the man-made, passed on from generation to generation, encrusted in generations of man-made notions. And when the Bible rings in our ears, it is a strange thing to us. What is this that you're talking about? I must be born again. No, as a master of Israel, he ought to have known these things. And our Lord recognized this, and he opens up one passage of scripture for him. Here he speaks of Moses in the book of Numbers. As the people sinned against the Lord, they were bitten by fiery serpents, and they began to die one after the other after the other. But God appointed a way of salvation, a way of healing. A serpent lifted up from the earth. "Look to this serpent," he said, "and you will live." So our Lord says, God will lift up his Son from the earth, and all who look to the Son, who believe in him, they will be saved. One brief note on verse 16, the gospel in a summary, 16 and 17. God so loved the world. In our English language, the word "so" often means in this great manner. This word, however, in Greek means in this way. This is the way by which God demonstrated his love to the world. It's that he gave his only begotten Son, as we saw from Romans 3. God set forth his Son as a propitiation. This is the way in which God demonstrated the great love he has, not merely for the Jew, but also for the Gentile, for all the nations of the earth, unlike the serpent. The serpent was for one nation. You Israelites in the wilderness under Moses, you have the opportunity to be saved by looking to the serpent. But God is opening up the gospel for all nations, for the entire world. God has designed the gospel in such a way that those who deserve death will receive life, everlasting life, rather than perishing in their sins. This is the grace of God, the love of God, the sweetness of the gospel. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But this, make no mistake, does not let men off of the hook. This is not a universal forgiveness of all men. No, if you do not believe on the only begotten Son, he says, you're calling God a liar. You're saying, I don't believe the testimony you gave concerning his Son. And God does not take kindly to calling him a liar. Rather, he says, if we do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son, verse 36, we shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:16 has a context. It is not to be wrenched out and made into this universal, sappy God who wants everybody to be saved and is really heartbroken if you don't. No, he's not heartbroken. He's filled with fiery judgments and wrath. The gospel is necessary because our sin provokes a righteous God to judge us that we would perish eternally. We need Jesus Christ because of the greatness of our sins and the greatness of God's holiness, which requires him to bring vengeance on sin. We also see that this great gospel is a way of coming to the light. Enlightenment is another way to think about the gospel. By nature, we are in darkness because our deeds are evil. We go away from the light rather than to the light. But once God has done a work, once these deeds are made manifest by the light, it is because God has wrought these works. They are wrought in him. He has done it. He has sent his Son. He sent forth his Spirit. He's the one who awakens the conscience, who brings faith in Jesus Christ into the mind and will. This is the work of Almighty God. There's a question then concerning purification. Why does this one that you gave witness to, John's disciples ask, why is he baptizing? What is he doing? What is his purpose? What is his mission? And John recognizes very clearly, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God made flesh. He speaks from above. The rest of the prophets and the apostles speak from below. God gave the Spirit to the apostles and prophets in measures, little tiny bits. enough to get them through what he required them to say. That's how much of the Spirit they had. Our Lord Jesus Christ had the Spirit of God without measure. He spoke directly as God himself in the flesh. He is above all, John says. He speaks what he has heard and what he testifies and sees from God himself, not as us, instruments through which God speaks, earthly in a sense. There is a huge difference then between all the earthly messengers and the Son of God himself in the flesh speaking the words of God. And therefore, John says, Jesus must go up and I must go down. He must be exalted and I must be abased. And this is the true faith of a believer, to recognize their own abasement and humility, to go down because of the greatness of Jesus, who must be exalted in all things. And thus far, the explanation of the word of Almighty God.